there are people just like you and I that are embedded within all of our communities. And since being able to talk to these people, I have discovered that their stories are not only inspiring, but truly, truly authentic. And it's through these stories I created the ATP podcast. With this podcast, I aim to be able to get their stories out and have further reach than what they themselves may be able to do. So with that in mind, I would like to introduce the ATP podcast. Going on, legends, welcome back to the podcast. So just capping off on our last one, we had Ben on. We were talking all things motivation, goals, everything. Like it was a great podcast. Absolutely love having Ben on. He's a wealth of knowledge. It was also about 18 months, I think, since we last had him on before then. So a lot more updates. It's always been great when he's been on. He does a lot of stuff when he comes to the podcast with Dalton as well. So if you haven't listened to that one, guys, go back, give it a listen. I guarantee you're going to pick up some amazing things. He's also doing a few amazing things in and around the space of psychology as well. So today, team, we have Amir on the podcast. Now, I was lucky enough to meet Amir for the first time back in 2019. It was in our network's kind of Power Players. So this was, you know, an event that happens or used to happen every year, obviously since COVID, doesn't anymore. But it was an event that used to happen where we would pit each other against each club and we would see who's the fittest. Anyway, he came up from Victoria in the Queensland summer. He absolutely died in the ass with the heat, although in saying that, so did I, and I'm from here, so I don't have any excuses. But Amir has owned and operated a fit stop down in Victoria since 2019. In that time, I actually found out in the podcast, he has been in lockdown longer since mid-19 when he first opened up the gym. He's been in lockdown longer and running online sessions than he has in his bricks and mortar, which is absolutely insane. Like that is, it's crazy to even think of that. But some really great points from Amir, how he goes about consuming content, how he goes about staying motivated, how he also goes about motivating his members. Some very great stuff in there. And just great to chat about everything that's happening down in Victoria at the moment, what kind of it's like down there, because for Queenslanders, possibly the rest of the world, it's a unique situation to just them. So it was great to get some perspective on that for someone that's down the trenches, so to say. It was a really good chat having Amir on. It's always great. Sadly, all him and I get to do is talk to each other through either Zoom or over Instagram. So as always, great to have a chat with a mate. But yeah, guys, I think you're going to thoroughly enjoy this. He's got a very positive attitude and outlook, and I'm really looking forward to the things that come from Amir as well. So guys, get strapped in. I know you're going to like it. You always do. But here we go. We're just going to get on with it. Let's do it. Alrighty, guys. So today I have Amir here with me. Amir has been one of my mates for a couple of years now. We have met through the network that we are both affiliated with. We were lucky enough to meet at a Power Players event, which I guess to kind of put that into perspective, what people may understand is sort of like when you have the CrossFit Games, like where that organization comes together and they get their fittest. We also have that within, or used to have that within our organization. So that's how we met. And since then, Mir and I have also been able to do some work while he's down in Melbourne. I've been able to assist them with a few things through our network. But mate, thank you so much for coming on.
No worries, mate. No worries.
Really appreciate it.
Happy to be on.
Yeah. So, guys, we're doing this over Skype. This is the first Skype interview that we've had for the podcast. So, it's going to be interesting. So, if there's a bit of lag time, team, there, you just know why. But, mate, first question I want to know is how did you get involved in the fitness industry? Run us all through this, kind of like your background, what you grew up doing.
Yeah, definitely. Might I add, Power Players, I'm pretty sure it was like 40 degrees that day. I haven't trained in Queensland in like years, and then I probably nearly passed out and vomited on my knees. Just a side note over there. It was a good welcome introduction to the Fit Stop community, though. Loved it. But yeah, a bit about me, as Josh said. My name is Amir, 25 years old. Got into the fitness industry basically purely. I feel like this is like most guys' kind of background story, but went through probably one of the roughest breakups. So I was like, fuck this, man. I'm going to train in the gym, get big muscles, be more confident. And then from there, just started helping my mates. And then I was like, hey, I actually like teaching people through personal training. I actually like the feeling of somebody reaching a goal, and it came from me. So from there, I just applied for Diploma of Health and Fitness Coaching. Jumped into that. Halfway through that course, I absolutely fell in love with it even more. And then it just kind of just evolved and evolved through there.
Awesome, man. And so when did you, you said you went through a rough breakup. how old were you? What year was that when you got started, kind of really stunned to I like this whole fitness stuff? And more on the PT side.
More on the PT side. It was definitely probably reaching 18, 19. Wanted to do a bit of one-on-one personal training. That's when I really started to take it seriously. I've been to the gym before, but I've always, you play sports, you go to the gym. But definitely around that, nearly hitting 20 is when I started to buckle in and really kind of do a few more courses on myself.
Oh, awesome, man. Okay, so, and that was, let's say 5 years ago. So, yeah, awesome, around that kind of mid-teens of the 20s, which is good. All right, cool, man. So, with that, how did you get started in the industry? Did you go into sort of a 24-hour box gym? Did you start in, group training? Where was the progression there after getting qualified?
So got qualified, and then I went straight into a group training, F45 or F46, whatever you want to call it. F45 was my first job. Just wanted to learn the ropes, get through a bit of management skills as well through there. I was probably spent 2 years at F45, then kind of was like, all right, let's go into some one-on-one training. Hit that up, really enjoyed that quite a lot. But then I also missed kind of that high intensity interaction with all members and stuff like that. The clients that I was getting at the time were very corporate, and it was a bit dull for my personality. I didn't want to sit and kind of just sit and count reps in that kind of sense. So I felt like I wanted to progress in more of a work environment that will suit my personality. So I went back into the F45 world. Great, great management skills. I managed a few and stuff like that. And then from there, I kind of evolved into FitStop, and getting into that is, it was just the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, awesome. So when you were going from F45 and you're like, okay, cool, I want to go into more the one-on-one style. Was that when you then went to? Did you go to a 24-hour gym for that?
Yeah. I went to Good Life.
Oh, okay,
Good
cool.
Life Health and Fitness Club. And I was there for about a year.
Was this all down in Melbourne?
Yeah. So I was actually born in South Africa and then moved from South Africa to Melbourne in 2004. And then I've stayed put down in the most livable city in the world since 2004. I don't know how livable it is right now, but yeah.
That's awesome, man. Now, I obviously understand how the Queensland market works with our trends and stuff, but in terms of your group training down there, when you were going through F45, when you were doing the management of F45, and even with your one-on-one PTs, what were some of the trends? Were there seasonal trends that would usually happen down in Melbourne or Victoria? Run us through some of the kind of stuff that you've noticed, what you did notice back in the day.
Mate, it's just your generic trend down here. It's more like, You're getting into those warmer months. People are like, all right, it's time to absolutely shred. It's time to get back into gear. It's time to get into gym. And then as you go away from the warmer months, you come out of summer, you go into our harsh winter. Winter's what we experience is below 10 degrees. You guys don't have a winter. So you have no right to even comment on that.
Hey, mate, 20 degrees is cold, all right? 20 degrees is freezing.
Mate, don't even with that. So then you go into the colder months and you see that whole big drop off a client base or membership base in that terms of people don't want to get up. It gets light here about 7:45 a.m. That is not motivating getting up for your 6 a.m. class or 5:30 a.m. class or PT session. So you see that huge drop off throughout the colder months. And now going to spring, you start to see that kind of rise again through your clients and through your membership base as it's getting warmer and everyone's like, fuck, I need to lose all this weight. And then the cycle continues and goes again and it goes again.
And so when we went through our major lockdown last year, so when the whole kind of of the nation went into lockdown, I know it wasn't too long. It was probably a month after that you guys went down into a big one. But have you noticed any kind of upsets in that trend, I guess, since, let's say, early last year? Have you noticed that there's been any upset in the trend, or it's still kind of just potted along the same?
Yeah, with the lockdown, it kind of threw everything out of whack. So definitely a change up in the trends in a way that when the harsh lockdown was down, was in, obviously you could train at home and the weather won't affect you and stuff like that. So you're able to train. We had more consistency in our members kind of training throughout that lockdown period, but definitely also your motivation is down low. If you're training by yourself in your living room apartment, you don't have a lot of space. You don't have a lot of equipment. So then you just see that kind of drop off through motivation. But then coming to the end of last year, where we did open up in November, our membership base doubled in 1 month.
Yep.
So it just absolutely boomed. So at the end of every lockdown that we have, we know the lockdown is going to be an absolute, like, just a grind. But post-lockdown, we know it's just going to boom because everyone's so hungry and so thirsty to get back into the gym and lift a barbell. Like, it's so overlooked, and we know that membership is just going to just drive up after, well, hopefully this lockdown.
Yeah, we've definitely seen the same sort of trend. I guess we've been quite lucky. We haven't experienced as many as you guys, and mainly the duration. We haven't experienced the duration that you guys have had to, but I've definitely seen in Queensland our typical trends were much the same. As soon as it gets to our cold, people drop off, like the motivation lacks, but then when it starts to warm up, like you get those first couple of warm weekends, you shoot down the beach and you notice a little bit of excess baggage around the sides, you're like, oh, time to get back to the gym.
time to lock and load again.
Yeah. We've also seen the same thing. After any sort of lockdown we have a massive uptake, and especially in inquiries and then people coming in and trying out gyms. And I think one thing that I have definitely noticed, and I'm sure a lot of other people and yourself have, is when you say they're hungry to get back into the gym, but they're also hungry to get back to a community, be actually around friends and making new friends. And it's actually quite interesting. It's the new religion now, whereas, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you'd probably go to church on a Sunday, catch up with all your mates, and then a couple of beers after or so, or whatever, I don't know, whatever people did back then. Whereas now it's all about getting to the gym because there's actually benefits to going to the gym.
It's just not training. It's you go to the gym, see your best mate, bloody rock out in the same outfit, have a laugh, then go for some post-session breakfast, and then out for beers. And it's like a whole open day, or a whole like kind of nostalgic feeling to get. And you're getting this by also training at the same time. So it's pretty neat.
Love that. So let's go back to you've just finished up at 45. You've been exposed to FitStop. Run us through what, I guess, your first exposure, like what it was like first seeing FitStop, and then the course and the timeline you went down through to opening up your own.
Yeah, so funny story about actually coming across FitStop. So I was heavy into F45. I've been around the industry of F45 and in it for 5 years. I actually wanted to open up my own because I saw kind of like the model, and I was like, wow, this is something epic. But I could never really get behind the training myself. So I was kind of on the hunt for an F45, but something a little bit more in that kind of sense. So I set it out to try open up an F45. Talks broke down, and the partner who I was with, one of my exes, mentioned, oh, have you heard of something called FitStop? She's actually from Queensland. And I was like, well, I don't want to know anything about FitStop or anything like that. I was closed off to the idea. We broke up. A few months later, I was like, oh, let me just like check this out. I actually have a call with Dylan from Maroochydore when he was like the sales rep. Love the call. flew up, met him, and then trained in Cooperoo with Nikki. And it was basically like barbell bench press into like banded flies into like decline push-ups. And I was like, I'm doing 8 minutes of this. I have the biggest chest pump in the world right now. I can't get this at F45. So I absolutely loved it in that kind of sense. And it was literally that session that hooked me. I was like, this is training I can get behind. This is training that I can actually push forward with and kind of like be in the class with my members, which is something that I was lacking at F45. So that was my little story of how I kind of got to know what FitStop was and how they just basically hooked me. It was just a barbell bench press. And then opening up, though, was a different story. So I then kind of went through the process of opening up my own FitStop. I actually was going to move to Queensland and open one up in Hamilton. I reserved Hamilton because there was no FitStops other than Queensland. And I was like to Peter, I was like, can we open up Melbourne? He was like, no, we're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. So I was like, well, sweet, then I'm coming to you. So I reserved Hamilton, talked to Chris Jank about like premises and all that kind of stuff. And then just went through it. And then a few months later, Peter was like, well, opening up in Melbourne in a year, why don't you wait? So I waited, was Port Melbourne, now South Melbourne. It was a whole lengthy process of how we got to go to it because we were one of the first ones as well. But then finally opened 2019, June 15th. Never looked back. I kind of wish now, though, I opened up in Hamilton.
Mate, you would have been a stone's throw away from me as well. Would have been awesome.
We'd be on 400 members by now. But anyway.
Run us through sort of, so a lot of people listening may not understand what a kind of the buying into a franchise process is like. Obviously, you know, without giving away any of the network's secrets, but run us through sort of like what that, what buying into, like getting involved with the franchise was like, but then I guess also being a pioneer for your state. Run us kind of what that was like.
It was always something on the cards, like, do you do something yourself or do you buy into a franchise? And I think that comes down to buying into the right franchise. In that sense, FitStop has just been nothing but great from the word go. Amount of support, like going through a pandemic as a business by yourself will be absolutely nerve-wracking and can break you at times. Having the support from HQ on basically how to attack like members, what to do on customer service, giving us like you guys in programming, helping us out with that in that kind of sense has just been taken so much stress off our heads in a way. So doing that by yourself would be absolutely nerve-wracking. But coming as a franchise, what you're buying into is that we're all a team here. And that's why I say coming into the right franchise, being one of the first in Melbourne, and there's only five now in Melbourne that are open, we're all basically, as Queensland would be now, one big family that were kind of picking each other's brains. Oh, what are you doing? Did this work? Did that work? There's no kind of rivalry between the two, which is something new for me. I thought, from buying into a franchise, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to take them down. But it's literally just been, how can we all push each other up? And that has been next level in that kind of sense.
Yeah, awesome, man. Okay. I guess one really kind of good thing, as you touched on there, when you buy into the franchise, you've got a team there. And I guess nothing really builds a team and builds camaraderie than hardship, which is definitely what you guys have gone through in the past 18 months. So when you are talking to the other Victorian locations, the other Melbourne locations, what are some of the things you guys are bouncing off? Because you're in a somewhat unique position to where the rest of the predominant numbers of franchises, which is Queensland, we've been quite lucky. But yeah, run us through like sort of what are some of those touch points you guys are working on that and bouncing ideas off each other to ensure that everything's still running smoothly.
So we all always just check what's working with each other, what's not working in some studios, why do we think something's not working. I'm sure you're very wrapped around the beat for burpee up in Queensland. I know bloody all of you guys do it for your marketing, beat for burpee, for anybody who doesn't know. It's in its name, I guess. We hold up a big sign. You got a beat, you beat on your car, then we do a burpee. But in Melbourne, that would not work. In Melbourne, that does not work. So we've all kind of like bounced off ideas like that. What is good for our state, and what do we know that people will grab onto? Like, I know going in, like being able to go to breakfast and having like an assault bike there, people in Melbourne have their designer gear on. They're not going to like absolutely wear down their Gucci tights or whatever they're wearing, yeah, and then go eat breakfast. They're going to probably be like, no, I don't want to do 5 cows for a free session, in that kind of sense. So it's just, we're always supporting each other that kind of way. I remember once I even lost my voice, might have been partying too hard, we don't know, but my voice went away for one whole week. And then I just literally had to like call up on Izza from South Yarra, and one of her trainers came down and ran my sessions because I had no one at the time. So just that kind of little team building in that kind of sense is what makes the franchise good.
Yeah, awesome, man. All right, so now I want to dive into a bit more of the specifics. So everyone last year, they got to experience that total, almost essentially national lockdown. From there, if you are involved in the fitness industry in any capacity, be it you're a member of a gym, you're a trainer on the floor, you're an owner, a manager, or you work at a HQ of a franchise that's involved in the fitness industry, everyone's gone through the lockdown and they've experienced that in a way. Run us through sort of what FitStop did in terms of how they pivoted, because you're actually the first person on the podcast from FitStop. So the listeners won't know too much about it. So run us through sort of what that pivot was like, when we went into the initial lockdown, and then start to run us through, I guess, what you've been able to do, really hone and master, through the subsequent lockdowns that have happened since then for Victoria.
Yeah, 100%. So what we have is the lockdown hits us, as FitStop HQ. I'm sure all the business owners are losing their mind, and we don't know what's going on. We don't know how we're going to get through it. We don't know what's going to come. FitStop HQ implement, obviously, the FitStop Lives, or at that time, I think it was Facebook Lives. And then we had to, before our app and technology was ready. So they brought up Facebook Live, and we did workouts to our members, and we just had to, in a day, turn it around and go online straight away. So we knew people didn't have weights at home, so we had to make it all body weighted. Every day is still a different workout in a sense, and we're still trying to hit your functional, your fast, and your fit. Functional, your weights, if anybody doesn't know. Fit is your high-intensity cardio, and then your fast is your athletic performance power class. So we still try to touch a little few of those points in each class as well, so we're following the structure of our week. Fast forward, I think, a month or two, and FitStop actually fast forward the FitStop app that was meant to come out 6 months later than what it actually did, and we're able to implement FitStop Live from the app, so it's all at the palm of your hands. Touch onto launch session, it opens up, you're online with your trainers, your community in that sense, and you're good to go. What we honed in though from each and every lockdown, because we've been through six now, and each of them have been a lot more than 2-3 weeks, so we're definitely masters of it, as you said. But like, I can do lives in the back, like in my sleep at the moment. Like, it's just natural to me. I think we've been locked down longer than we've been open, and I opened just over 2 years ago.
That is
so
insane.
I am more of an expert on FitStop Lives than actually having more classes in the gym. So it's an insane kind of thought. I think we're well and truly over 200 days over in a lockdown since the first one. But how I became and how we've mastered it each way, like we can add software, a different kind of software to use on our own platform. We can definitely also, it's just changing it up. People need variety. People get very stale very quickly, making sure you're keeping it entertaining. Yes, we are hitting the programming really well, but people need a smile during these times. They need to make sure their mental health is better. So that means we're cracking jokes. If that means we're bringing a dog on the live, then that's what we do. We try to keep it more upbeat and everything during it.
Yeah, love that, mate. And I guess with that as well, how have you guys done anything, be it the network down there in Victoria or just yourself, mainly speaking from your experience, what are some of those touch points that you're doing to engage with the members? So is it like, are you guys doing predominantly lives? Are you like, is there a sort of back of house area where the members can meet online? Like a, you know, Instagram group or a Facebook group? What's the sort of stuff that you guys are still doing to really generate that community?
Yeah, so engagement is the number one thing during the lockdowns. Everyone feels so far away from each other and not connected at all. So we have a few things that we go throughout the week. Luckily, I have a team now that can delegate it to as well, and we all kind of share the load. But we have that private Facebook group where if there, you'll be able to post anything you want. We post recipes once or twice a week just so people can kind of have like a bake-off. Upload it to your story and tag us, see what it looks like. We do weekly check-ins, so whether that's a video message, a text message, email, whichever and however they want to be contacted, just to check in, see how they're going. Friday, good feel-good messages. On a Friday, we just randomly text some people and go, hey, you're an amazing human. Hope you have the best Friday. And then you get back like, that has absolutely made my Friday or made my week. Thank you so much. We've also implemented like Zoom trivia nights and game nights.
Oh, nice.
So everybody meets up. We have a few drinks. And then, we do like either like Pictionary or just trivia on general knowledge. And that's always a hoot.
Some quarantinis.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Cool. So there's a lot that you're doing for your members, which is good because, and this was actually really surprising. So without name dropping other gyms, and this is not in our network, just outside. So I've got a lot of friends that are training and other stuff, but there were certain gyms that I know as a network that Fitstop will go, it doesn't matter where you are, as soon as there's a lockdown, boom, you're straight online, you're still servicing the members. But it blew me away, especially for, I can't remember how many queens they have had, but we always have relatively short ones, really longer than a week, 10 days. But we had recently a one, I believe it went for 7 to 10 days, and there was still gyms that were charging full membership, so between $50 and $70 or $50 and $80. They were offering nothing to their members during that time, so no sort of, not even an at-home workout to do, like, hey, here's just a program, go ahead and do it yourself. They didn't offer any lives, and it was just interesting that I have a lot of respect for these people, like, they know what they're doing, but yeah, they offered nothing, and it kind of blew me away. I was like, wow, like, it's just from the members' point of view, the members' perspective, it's like, well, you're still asking me to pay a full membership, yet you're giving me nothing. Like, you know, like there's almost like, as a business, an individual business owner, and as a company now, I feel like you need to be able to pivot and have stuff in place ready to go. Otherwise you're already behind the eight ball. Like, because one thing I kind of noticed here in Queensland was that, you know, people are not looking for locking contracts anymore. They don't want to be locked in because they don't want to be paying for something if they can't use it, which, fair enough. Like, if you can't use it, you shouldn't be paying for something. And then also on top of that, they want to be looked after, make sure they're getting bang for their buck. So the fact that people, that organizations weren't offering anything it was pretty surprising. So I think that's a credit to Fitstop, is that as soon as something happens, there's almost a plan in place, or it's being put in place to deal with that.
Yeah, we definitely, as you know, like, we reduce our prices like by 50% because we know it's not the same thing and it's not the like bricks and mortar. But yeah, we definitely know a few organizations down here that just send out an email being like, oh, we'd love your support in that kind of case. And that's it. It's not like, oh, here is some free workouts. Also, if you are able to support us, we'd love it. Or we knew some places that don't even send that email and then wait for you to be like, hey, you charged me and we're not even open in that kind of case. And then they require you to go, I would like to suspend or pause in that kind of case. They're real shifty and just loses trust in that way. So it's amazing that Fitstop does. We're on that, as you said, we're on that front foot. We message our members first and we say, hey, this is what's going to happen to your membership. This is what day it's going to happen. If there's anything else that you need help with, please let us know, and then we're back onto them in that kind of case. So it is very important being on that front foot and earning those members' trust.
Definitely, couldn't agree more. Let's get a little bit more personal now. So I want you to run us through sort of where were you at? What was going through your head when we went into that first initial lockdown, not just as a business owner, but also like just as a normal human that had to deal with this along with everyone else? And then how have you also gone about dealing with it? What's the emotions you felt with all your subsequent, the other five lockdowns? And then as well, I guess, keeping in mind for the listeners that you guys have gone through very lengthy lockdowns to the point where you've had more of an online business than a bricks and mortar business since you've opened in 2019, which is phenomenal. That is crazy for me to even understand.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Well, it is like that first lockdown that went through, what went through my mind was honestly, I'm pretty sure I posted a photo of like me, like throwing up heaps of toilet paper because it was all like a joke at the start. Like who took all, like who's buying all the toilet paper? Why are people buying so much toilet paper? What are you eating?
Yeah, why do you have need diarrhea that much toilet now? Paper
in that kind of sense? Yeah. Like, are you scared shitless? Is that what's going on? Or, but that was at the start of it all, that first big lockdown. I honestly, what was going through my mind, I was like, I kind of need a 2-week reset, to be honest. That was that, honestly, is what went through my brain. I was like, 2 weeks, two sessions a day, going for heaps of walks, get my knee up. That's amazing. Like, let's go. And then it kind of became even longer. And then when you guys came out and then we continued to stay on, because we opened up, I think we all opened up at the same time for 2 weeks in July or June.
Was it two weeks, the turnaround?
Yeah. So we opened up for 2 weeks and then we went bang straight back in to a deeper one. And that was like the stage four one. That was the one that went all the way from like June or July all the way to November, the end of November. So that going through there, it then becomes of how do you protect your mental health? And not as a business owner, as a person, I can, so many people from Victoria will relate. We would wake up, you would eat, you would be stressing on what the numbers were and hoping and praying that they'd be down. You look at your phone, you constantly be checking, have they come out yet? Have they come out yet? You check it, it will let you down because the numbers will be going up. You feel your heart drop. And then you go, well, let's go for a walk for another day. And then you just, that's that movement pattern that you go on. And that first kind of lockdown as a business owner, we kind of really push for all our members to try a new trait or learn a new skill. I'm pretty sure mine was handstands. It became very good. And then when we came out, I stopped everything. But you're doing handstands, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been doing heaps of handstands, but my one I wanted to get good at was double unders. So I mastered that, blew my calves out, and then haven't really done them since.
Yeah, I think I had like half my members going like, oh, I never ran in my life before. I started running. I have knee pain and calf pain. And I'm like, I wonder why. You never ran in your life.
Yeah.
You have no running gait, and then now you want to try running. Anyway, that's a different story. But, yeah, throughout the lockdown – mentally, it's just you got to protect yourself. So now we're lockdown six, and what we do here, like Jess and myself, Jess is my partner, if nobody knows, but what we do is we don't even watch the news. We tell everybody that we know or we check in with, just don't turn on the news. You're going to find out anyway. It's going to get to you. We're not going to get out of a lockdown, and you're not going to not know. You're going to find out anyway. So it's just so draining mentally watching the news and how they kind of push people with their fear tactics and everything like that. So we turn that off. We focus on what we're doing for the day. We still have a plan and routine. Routine is a must. And as I said, like I started that 75-day challenge. I'm on day 48 and I'm loving it because it's keeping me accountable, making sure I'm hitting certain points. And it's basically, I'm busy. I'm busy every day, which is what you need to be doing in a lockdown. If you are not busy and just sitting on the couch or going for long walks and then coming home and doing nothing, it's going to be miserable. And I would say that I've done that before in the past lockdown. So it's just how you approach it. And it is all about mindset.
Oh, awesome. So run us through that 75-day challenge that you're doing. What's all that about?
So I don't know if you guys have heard it, but 75-day hard challenge is basically – like an absolute 75 days, no cheap meals, no alcohol. You have to do one 45-minute workout and then also one pages of a book and take a like a progress picture every day. So I kind of twisted it to my own way in a sense, because I don't agree with the sustainability of doing that for 75 days. Because if you do slip up, just say you have a chocolate frog or something like that. It'll like you're meant to say I fail in the app, and then it goes you failed. There's no sugarcoating it. And it just creates a negative mindset towards your nutrition and then just puts you down and you have to start all over again. So what I did was I gave myself four special occasions. I'm allowed to, in those special occasions, eat or drink anything I want. But there has to be in a special occasion. It can only be four over the 75 days.
Okay.
So by doing that, it's a little bit more longevity. By doing that, I'm not missing out on someone's birthday, or like if I really want to do, like Jess's birthday is coming up in September, or we are craving a bloody cookie. I'm not going to starve myself from a cookie. We're making it a day, and for her birthday, like it's her birthday, like why wouldn't we? We still want to go through life and enjoy it, but limit how much we do go out over the 75 days. So that's what it's about. Day 48, as I said, feeling good, looking good, routine is amazing. Doing 10 pages a day of reading a book. I'm kind of jumping between three books at the moment. But it's been really great. Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep.
Have you heard of that one?
I have.
The Science of Persuasion.
Okay.
And then also I am reading the Australian Stock Exchange for Dummies. Because I want to get into some day trading.
Yeah, okay. Well, mate, tell you what, bloody, you can invest in Uber because I'm spending a shitload on them at the moment. Mate,
Uber Eats or Uber like driving?
Uber driving. Yeah.
Do you not have a car?
I was fortunate enough for some little shitbag to come and borrow it from my house a while back. So, yeah, just waiting for Toyota to drop off a brand new Hilux, but. Anyway, I digress. Mate, that's awesome. So I love the books, jumping between them. Give me a quick rundown. What's that Art of Persuasion like?
So I'm very early into it, but goes over the six laws of like human persuasion and what they are all about. I'm up to chapter one, the law of persuasion. Like I always get word tongue tied on saying this word,
I know the word you're trying to talk about, but I'm going to butcher it. Reciprocity? Is that
yes,
it?
Yes, that's the word.
Cool. Awesome.
Wow. I literally was reading it and I was always trying to say that word really well. And Jess and I just can't pronounce that word at all. So I'm not going to say it anymore because the viewers have heard enough. I'm just up to that word, as you know, and just like how animals use it in a way, but also like having blind spots as animals. And then we also as humans have blind spots. So like a mother turkey, I'll give you an example. A mother turkey is a great mother to its babies, but they need to make a sound like a cheep, cheep sound. So if they make a cheep, cheep sound, then the mother will be an awesome mother. If they don't make a cheap, cheap sound, the mother will kill it, and then that's just how their DNA is made. So there was an experiment with some scientists that they kind of put a fake doll off the turkey's predator, and they inside there the doll that had a microphone, and then they went cheap, cheap. The mother loved it. They took the microphone out, and it didn't make that sound, and the mother absolutely mauled that doll to bits.
Wow.
So it's just a blind spot of a predator that the turkey would normally be pretty scared of. It just hit a button and absolutely blind. Yep, I love you, it's so good. And as humans, we have those blind spots as well. We just got to make sure that we hit them.
Wow.
If you want somebody to do something for yourself. So in that kind of case.
Yeah, cool. All right, that's awesome. Very interesting. Mate, what are the kind of things you're doing at the moment? So this is... I've only got this question because of how long you've been open and how long you haven't essentially been doing the bricks and mortar. So having members in the actual location training. But what are you doing, I guess, in terms of, or are you just, this is just a question, is there anything that you're doing in terms of, I guess, professional development from the coach, business owner sense? Is like, yeah, so the question is, are you doing any professional development as a coach and or as a business owner? Like, I mean, some of those books are amazing. They definitely apply to that. But is there anything specific or is it quite hard? Because I know in terms of, so from the fitness space, you go and do any sort of extra qualifications, any courses, you kind of need to do that in person, which would be non-existent down in Victoria at the moment. So is there anything like that that you are doing that you've found that you've got a yearning for? Or is it kind of you're just going with the blows at the moment, doing what you can, which is obviously...
Definitely. I wanted to do some personal development this year because Jess is doing her nutrition course. She's just about finished.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, I want to level up. I want to do something that will upskill me, that will help the business, but then also myself as well. So what I was going to do was level one, level two, strength and conditioning. But obviously we need to be open, like things need to be open. You need to go, you need to turn up. It's just like more, it's a practical kind of sense. So that couldn't happen. But something that also like really sparked my mind was like Facebook ads, writing great ad copy and learning systems and creating systems to one day then leave the business and people just follow the systems and you can just delegate and you're on top of the world at that point. So I have been doing a little course on the side. Shout out to Mario. I know you're very, very aware of him. So just with him for 10 weeks and, yeah, loving it so far. We're like 3 weeks in and I've already learned so much. And, yeah, just diving straight deep into that.
Yeah, awesome. Perfect, man. I know exactly what, like, so even though we've been open up here, so I've got my level one in S&C. I was lucky enough to do it down in Geelong when Victoria was open at one of their schools. But yeah, it's been hard even up here to get on that bandwagon of upskilling. Like there's certain little things that happen, but there's really, you can't, like, no one has been able to do anything in terms of saying, oh, there's a course in this date. And then the second they get whiff of, you know, there could be a potential lockdown, they have to essentially like cancel the course because it's like, hey, we can't risk it.
You were interested in doing that a few, was it, I think like last year or the year before, maybe, like you were interested in getting the whole Fitstop crew down and a part of the S&C level one or two, weren't you?
Yeah. So
I vaguely remember that.
I was trying to do a push there. It did, obviously with COVID and stuff, it got quite tough. There's still potential there, but really it comes down to the fact that no matter what course you do, this is across any board, no matter what course you do, it's like you could have someone that, say, let's keep it in fitness, you have someone that does their certificate four in PT and then they come out, they're not actually a good PT, they just know the utmost basics in how to write a push pull legs program and then deliver it. So you can do 3x10 on squats, you can do, but then what they don't understand is all your different training methodologies. They don't understand, you know, what can create stimulus, how do we avoid burnout. So it's that ongoing knowledge. And S&C, so this is through ASCA, the Australian Strength and Conditioning Association, although you come out with your level one, again, it's the base, the very, very, very base knowledge of that strength and conditioning. So although in any network, if you had everyone's qualified in level one strength and conditioning, it's like, okay, cool, how are you going out to then further hone that skill? Because like in any organization, like currently with Fitstop, I know it's like the basic requirement is a Cert 3 group training. That's fair enough. It's what any group fitness is. You need that Cert 3. You could have someone that only has Cert 3, yet they've, you know, devoted a lot of upskilling into doing that one-on-one type stuff, but just through legality reasons and insurance, they can't actually do it until they have a Cert 4. Likewise, you could get someone that's got a Cert 4 come in and they're an absolute peanut. And this can be across the board.
Absolutely no, have no idea what they're going on about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's tough in that sense with anything if you want to do something. Well, basically what I'm trying to get at is, like, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. So although in theory, upskilling an entire network would be phenomenal. It's like, how are people going to ensure that they stay current with any type of literature that comes out? Like, are they constantly reading what's getting posted in the journal? All of this kind of stuff. So it gets tricky there. So I think that the best thing for anyone is, in my opinion, is if it interests you, go and do it. But even if it doesn't, go and do it. And if, you know, you hate it, cool. You know something you hate, don't do what you hate. Do stuff that you love and that gives you drive. So, yeah, that. But I mean, like, I would always recommend getting on doing ASCA. It's awesome. And then you get it's not so much the course, which is awesome. Again, it's the continual upskilling, but the information you get access to, like the journal, oh, like it's phenomenal. I was always keen to get onto level two as well, but I guess you sort of look at what level two is used for, and that's more going down the professional sporting scene. So if you want to be involved with professional sporting team, then you go get your level two. You write an entry into the journal. That's not to downplay anything or anyone that has a level two. It's just that, I guess it's kind of, you could look at level one as being a cert three in fitness, and then your level two is a cert four. It's like you just learn a little bit more and you've almost shown and applied the knowledge once you've got it, which is good. Some great
content. Are you upskilling yourself at any, like, anything at the moment,
mate? So I was booked into a couple of courses. I was going to get affiliated with the I think it was the Australian powerlifting, the Australian Olympic Lifting Association. I was really excited about that. So it's a lot of stuff that they kind of do in your level one CrossFit. I was really keen to do that, but they had to put stuff off because I believe that course was in May and we had just come out of, or just went into a lockdown, so it got canned. But ASC has been quite good as well. We've had a lot of, so they're called SIG, special interest groups, and it's essentially where there's someone that's doing something in the sporting, most of the time, in the sporting realm. So I've gone to a couple of SIGs, which have been good. And that's sort of like just a very informal, hey, this is what we're doing, this is how we do it, this is how it applies to our sport and the methodology. So it gives you like that, a little bit more insight, and then how people kind of work around it. And I think, I don't know, I guess everyone sort of goes through this at some times, but every now and then I'll have the imposter syndrome. I'm like, oh, you know, I don't think I actually know much. I'm always a student of learning. Like, you can't give me enough knowledge or content. I'll consume anything and everything I can. Then sometimes I just sit there and I'm like, fuck, do I actually know what I'm talking about? And then sometimes I go to these SIGs and I'm like, wow, like these people are giving their, you know, they've been in the industry for years and they're giving you all this knowledge and you're like, fuck, like I already know that. Like, awesome. It's a little bit of validation, which is good sometimes. But then there's also gold nuggets, like stuff that they were doing that you might considered to be outdated, they actually do it and there's proven science behind it. You're like, oh, okay, it's interesting. It's not how I would have done it, but it's very interesting. So
yeah, sometimes you just go, oh yeah, like as you said, like validation, you feel really good, like, oh yeah, that's what we do. So what, there's someone with X and X so much qualifications and we do that. And then sometimes you just sit there like, oh my God, I do not know that. This is amazing.
Yeah, definitely. It was actually, I went on a handstand retreat the other day, so like getting into handstands, and there's some crazy stuff that I learned there. I was like, wow, this is awesome. It's not necessarily a course, like you wouldn't put it on your resume, but yeah, it was pretty cool. So like even stuff like that,
they're
like,
awesome.
Because like once you start doing stuff in fitness, you're like, oh cool, so you start going down, you start learning these different things. But I guess you can also see it in some ways. You see some people that go like way down the rabbit hole, and it like sort of becomes like, this is the only way, you know, like, oh, I don't really actually have a good example, but I've heard of people that, you know, they start off as great coaches, great business owners, and then they go down this rabbit hole and essentially turn into complete hippies and like, you know, oh, don't go get vaccinated, drink, you know, ginger tea and you'll be good. And you're like, bro, okay.
Trouble woo-woo.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, mate. So what I want to talk about now is kind of looking a bit to the future. So obviously, like, hoping that you guys are going to get our lockdown soon, regardless of what the numbers are doing. Where would you like to see the fitness industry start to head? Like, is there anything you've identified? Like, hey, look, if we can nail this, if we can head down this way, I can really see some benefit in the industry. And one thing that we've kind of spoken on already is like how people will just sit and wait for people to for their members to get in contact with them. Oh, you know, I shouldn't be paying for something that I'm not getting any use out of. Like, so obviously having a policy in place, which FitSop does, and that's being on the forward foot, making sure that the members, you know, the members are put first, because that will create further buy-in and trust. So are there any kind of, like, I guess, issues you've identified you'd like to see the industry as a whole move down and ahead and go towards?
Yeah, like future thinking. Firstly, I just always want the fitness industry to get that bad rep. I don't want, like, those cookie cutter PTs coming out anymore. Like, future thinking, I would like to just drop all of them, actually get a good quality course in you so you know the fundamentals. Because one of the things that just grinds my gears is maybe when I go to another gym and I'm training and I'm like, you are not doing the right thing. You're about to blow this kid's kneecap off. This is going to kill him. And I can't say anything, or I shouldn't say anything, because I don't want to come off as a major dick. But yeah, so probably one of the major things I think the fitness industry need to work on is just producing quality PTs, taking it a little bit slower. It might need to be 50% practical, 50% online. Mine was 100% practical. I was there. I had to be there. It was like, that was my online. That was my personal training course. I couldn't do it online. I couldn't stuff around at home on my and just press next and watch videos. So I feel that that's the best way to go about it. Also, other things, as you said, like touching on the customer service in the fitness industry, just needs to be better. Everybody needs to be on the front foot in that kind of sense, and making sure that they are putting the members, prioritizing the members first, whether that is their health, whether that is how they're feeling. I think it's something that we kind of touch on at FitStop. Like, everything reverts back to how will the member feel? What will the member's experience be? That is the number one thing. And that's all going to be, they're going to feel the best, they're going to be treated like family, then we're in the right direction. But we get so many of members coming in being like, they didn't even know my name. They didn't even ask for my past conditions or my health injuries or health conditions. And then you're like, wow, well, obviously we're going to blow them out of the water, because what we do is so much different.
Yeah, definitely.
So that is definitely something, like, small nitty-gritty things that just make up such big differences in the end of it, and the fitness industry needs to be pushing in that direction as well.
Mate, I couldn't agree more, especially with the whole quality of coach that's or trainer that's coming out. I think there's no real easy fix. It's like, yes, you can make you could have the best content in the world, but if you're attracting peanuts, you're going to get peanuts at the end of the day. I think from what I've spoken to from some people that have done tertiary education is really that, you know, you almost need to be coming out of you need to be coming out as pretty much a trainer with a degree. Like, you need to have done more than a 6-week course. Even a diploma, maybe a diploma is that first step where, you know, you've had to do something that's gone for a few months, a year, 2 years. You've done the hard training. While you're doing the hard training, you can still work in the industry. I think the only issue where that then provides is suddenly there'd be a higher expense associated with memberships, because, you know, no one's going to go to uni to, well, unless you want to get an arts degree, no one's going to come out and work for $30 an hour after doing X amount of years of study. So, but it would definitely, I guess if that was the case, you could argue that the quality and experience of people would be much better because they're getting looked after. But then you also ponder the question of, would it then only become accessible to people with a higher socio-economical kind of income? Because, you know, you're suddenly paying for all this knowledge, yet, you know, does it align with what everyone else can afford throughout the country? So it's tough. It's tough, that one. But I couldn't agree. I definitely identify the same issue as you, but yeah, it's a lot easier said than done, sadly. Mate, I want to know a couple of opinion stuff. So obviously, like, neither of us are heavily involved in the government. We don't know the details, but from what I've seen up here in Queensland to, I guess, what you guys are experiencing down there, how do you feel that the Victorian government has handled all of this?
Oh, God. I feel By the way, side note, do you feel like everybody, when you talk, I don't know if it's the same up there, but like when we talk like numbers or when we talk like lockdowns, do you feel that I tend to talk to people like, oh yeah, one of my mates works in the government and he said lockdown's going to be starting today. Somebody else like Jenny goes, oh, well, my husband works in the government. And you're like, who are these people? I don't know anybody working in the government, but yet everybody knows someone. I'm like, why does everybody know somebody working in the government? That was just a side note. But down here, I thought it was handled okay at the start. And then as we go into lockdowns and more lockdowns, they finally kind of waved their white flag in the middle of this lockdown saying, well, we can't eradicate it. We'll push for vaccination. Which kind of was like a little slap in the face because this whole time their theory was to eradicate. And now they're like, oh, actually, no, we can't do that. So we're going to change strategies and we're going to go for vaccination, which is better, which I do agree with, is because we're not going to be able to get to zeros and then stay at zero. It's not going away anywhere. As other countries are doing, we need to live with it. And I think that they're finally looking at other countries and even other states. And seeing that, well, this isn't going away, and we need to we need to push hard with the vaccination rate. So definitely don't think it was handled the best. Our contact traces are probably the worst, and I feel like it's always a removalist or a family that are just running a riot in each state. Like it's probably just one family, the same people who are removalists going in every state in that kind of sense.
I found that essentially anyone that has had COVID has gone to Bunnings and they've done something there. It's apparently just, it's like, oh, I've got a cough and, you know, I can't really taste anything. Better shoot down to Bunnings, go lick some timber.
Better get down to Bunnings.
Yeah, make sure I can pound my last bloody sausage and bread. All right, mate. Yeah, cool. It's funny. We were talking before we started recording how, you know, the biggest thing, which is not being counted at the moment. And I guess to what we were saying, it's like, you know, eventually we are going to have to live with this. People will have to get vaccinated. Hopefully they all do. Vaccination doesn't prevent. It just lowers the risk. So risk of going to hospital, risk of dying. That's what it does. A vaccine has never cured anything. And then from there, we need to, get back on with life. Because what we've noticed now, and this hit home, close. It didn't hit home, but it was close. One of my clients, he had a really good mate that just committed suicide down in Sydney because of their lockdown. He was a Kiwi, wasn't able to get home. It was all too much for him. So at what stage do we stop counting? And this is what we were talking about. At what stage do we stop counting numbers of people that have contracted the virus? And do we start going, okay, look, you know, there are a lot more people that are dying from suicide than dying from this virus. And as I said as well to you, I'm like, what was the quality of life of these people that are dying? Now, obviously, you know, it would be great if no one did, but do we look at the quality of life and what they could contribute to society of these 70, 80, 90 year olds? Like, that's a pretty good innings. You know, they're sadly dying, but then we've got teenagers up to, well, you know, the there is no age cap on it, but we've got people that are committing suicide, like, because they're excluded from their communities, their family, their friends. So, yeah, yes. At what stage do we start putting their lives before anything else? And when do we start counting that as...
It's funny, like, you look at, as you say, you look at the... You ask at what point do you start looking at the other numbers and you look at the suicide rate. Then you also look at, you should be looking at last year's or the year before's flu rate. Apparently, no one's died from the flu this year. They've only died from COVID. When there's it's just crazy that the amount of that, there's no flu. It's only COVID. There's only the COVID-19 at the moment that's killing people. Yeah. Even though 2 years prior, it was killing so many more people just from the standard flu. Side note again, can we just normalize sneezing when hay fever season is here?
Oh, dude,
the biggest hay fever it ruins me. And I was waiting at the post office, waiting for a parcel, and I was literally nearly passing out, trying to hold in the sneeze. The line was huge, and I'm just like holding it in, praying to God that I do not sneeze, even though my eyes are itchy. I don't want anyone to yell at, go get a COVID test. Oh, let's normalize that, people. It's okay to have hay fever.
100%, Matt. I get it as well. And yeah, I can't wait for when the pollen count goes up. I'm going to have watery eyes and people will be like, have you been tested? I'm like, I don't think you could shove anything up my nose at the moment. It's running so fast. So, mate, exactly. Yeah. Oh, you're going to be better off just like letting farts rip in public so you can cover your sneeze with that. Just make sure like...
Yeah, well, what was that? You used to sneeze to cover the fart. Now you fart to cover the sneeze.
Yeah.
I think I heard that. Yep. It's totally true though. It's ridiculous of how paranoid people get. Like I'm pretty sure I sneezed once, which is a normal human response. Just like a sneeze is absolutely normal. And like a lady stepped back from me and I was like, oh, well, clearly you don't sneeze ever in your life.
Yep. Yeah, there's a massive taboo around sneezing and coughing, and just I kind of like how people are now more conscious of if they're unwell, they won't go out in public. Like that's a positive that's come from it, because it's what it always should have been. And if you're unwell, don't go to work. And one thing that before COVID, before this was the thing, early 2019 all of 2019 and back, I would fucking hate it when people would come in snotty nose, coughing everywhere. Oh, no, I can still train. I'll just push through. It's like, mate, I don't care what you can do. I don't want to get sick, because I'm the one that's up at Sparrows and not getting home until the hours are out each night. Like, the last thing I want to do is compromise my health because you're too selfish to just like chill out. Obviously, excluding hay fever, because hay fever, telltale signs, runny eyes, itchy throat, all of that. But yeah, like you'd have people coming in and like they sounded like bloody a pack a day smoker for 80 years, and you're like, man, come on, like,
yeah, chill. My favorite one is like when they come in, they're like, oh, I'm like, why are you at work? And you're like, I'm so sick. Oh, like, yeah, I just feel so ill. And you think to yourself, why the hell are you here?
Yeah,
like, why are you here? And I get, even now during COVID, I have some instances where when our gym is open, someone will come in and be like, oh, I'm so sick. And I was like,
what are you doing here?
I don't want to say, you should go get tested. But I love that people go, oh, I'm so sick of the runny nose, but I don't have COVID. Like, oh, you know?
I always say to our members, especially when it's starting to get a bit more prevalent, but I'll always say to the members, I'm like, we will not be the only gym in Brisbane that gets on the news for having COVID. We're not doing that. And they're
that's
like, oh,
my
okay.
biggest fear at the moment, I reckon. That's my biggest fear, is that you don't want to be known as the gym that had to shut down and get like a deep clean because someone contracted or someone had COVID and they just brought it in.
Definitely.
And then other members got like infected. Like that's probably one of my biggest fears. That's why we're so like anal. We're cracking down and all the like the social distancing as much as we can and everything like that, wiping down everything, just because one of my biggest fears is Fit Stop South Melbourne, like hotspot. And yeah, I'm like, yeah, there goes my business.
Yeah, right. You're just always known as that. Yeah, fuck. You're that kid that shit the pants at school.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I still do it now. Awesome, man. All right, so just random question. When the world opens back up, where's the first place you want to go?
Say that again. What was that?
When the world opens back up. So not just Victoria and Australia, but when the world opens back up, you got anywhere that you want to get to?
Mate, I was meant to fly. So just say, let's first start off with when the state opens back up. Let's baby steps, mate. Come on. when the state opens back up and other states allow us to come in. We actually were meant to leave for Perth last Friday.
Oh.
For like 2 weeks. It would be our first holiday. So Jess and myself, first holiday together in our 3 years of going out ever. Because I basically just opened the business as at the start of us starting to go out. So we haven't been anywhere together. I've either been away for a weekend with the boys or she's been with the girls and kind of stuff. So this was the first one and we're hanging for it. And I was like, surely September 2nd, COVID won't even be a thing by then. COVID's a thing. But I think I want to go to probably Hawaii when we open back up. Hawaii or the States, just because Jess's brother is over, plays a bit of basketball in the States for college.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be cool to see him. He came down for 6 weeks, actually. He just left, I think, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. But he came down for 6 weeks for a holiday and to visit after 2 years being in America. And he was locked down for 3 lockdowns while he was here.
Oh, no way. Fuck. That's
so
a joke.
So you have to quarantine, come into it. So he quarantined. The day he got out of quarantine was the day we went into our first lockdown in, I think, June.
Oh, far out.
I felt so bad for the kid. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I had to come back for this shit.
That's rough, man. Okay, Hawaii. That's Hawaii, the States. That's awesome.
What about yourself? What about where are you going
to
go?
Well, so I was actually meant to go when we all went into the big lockdown in 2020. I was meant to go to Bali twice for 2 weddings. So they unfortunately were thrown away. People still ended up getting married, so happy for them. Mate, to be honest, I'd probably want to do Europe because for my 30th, I had planned to go to Germany for Oktoberfest just to get all around that. Instead, had my 30th here, and then we went into lockdown the day after of, so I was like, fuck. But yeah, I'd say Europe. Yeah, I just want to go get, honestly, loose over there. Just have a good
absolutely
time.
Absolutely wasted, mate. 100%.
Yep. Mate, some quality German beers.
I was looking forward to coming up for conference.
Oh, mate, yeah, I know. I'm so dirty about
and
that.
Now, got cancelled, bloody COVID.
Oh.
I was so keen to see everyone again, but apparently not. I'm just going to have to, we're going to have to follow through with you adopting me, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
We're going to have to follow through.
We'll get the paperwork done. You'll come up. You'll have to come up here for compassionate reasons. I'll be your dad. You can call me daddy.
100%. I already do, mate.
Formally, as well as informally.
Okay.
All right, bro, man, thank you so much, Amir, for coming on. Like, really appreciate it. Just quickly, where, if people want to look you up on socials, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me on Instagram, probably my main page, just under Amir Madanpol. I'll send you the link, Josh. You can put it in there or anything like that.
Yeah, I'll check
it in the show notes. Or Fits Up South Melbourne, you'll see lots of my face on Fits Up South Melbourne Instagram page. But yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Had a blast. It was great. It was my first podcast ever.
Man, you killed it.
Thanks for taking my virginity.
Oh, mate, oh, I can't get all the best virginities, but mate, to get your podcast one, I'm glad I got that. All right, mate, thank you so much. Guys, thanks for tuning in. I'll have all of Amir's details in the show notes. Until next time, team, just keep on kicking those goals and we'll be back very soon.